For our first speaker, Deacon Samuel.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Praise Yah for this awesome Sabbath. Now to start off here, today I'm going to be talking about eliminating negative communication. You know, this is very important that we be mindful of this each and every day, because every day we speak and we talk, so we have to be mindful of these things. But I'm going to be talking about communication. Now, the word communication, from the Webster's Dictionary, communication means a process by which information is exchanged between individuals. Now, every day we communicate with each other, you know, mostly verbally, but, you know, we also communicate through writing. You know, but we have to be mindful of what we say and what we do. You know, nowadays, one of the most common forms of communication is through texting. And, you know, one thing to be mindful is that, you know, when you're texting, you can't really understand the emotion behind the text, right? So you have to be mindful, you know, use empathy and think about the things that you say and what you do. You know, rather if it's positive or if it's beneficial. Now, we should also remember that, you know, the saying of sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never hurt me. But, you know, we all should know that this is false. You know, the words we say can affect others, whether it be positively or negatively. Now, from our first scripture, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Found on page 918. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says here, let no corrupt communication, foul language, evil word proceed out of your mouth, but that is which righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, that it may minister blessings to the hearers. You know, and I want you to notice that point there where it says upbuilding of the house of Yahweh. You know, are we not the house of Yahweh, brothers and sisters? Yes, we are. You know, just keep these things in mind. Remember the commercial where it said, you know, I am the house of Yahweh. You know, so in that way, the house of Yahweh is not just the building, but it's the people. So we should use words to build each other up, you know, not to tear each other down. But one thing you have to remember is that when we tear each other down, we actually take upon the characteristics of Satan, of the gods. You know, where they actually tear each other down to lift themselves up. And, you know, like I said, this is the character of Satan. And if you remember, she actually proved that this was in her character in the beginning, where she told Eve that it was okay to go ahead and eat or partake in the tree of righteousness and evil, and she won't die. You know, this was the negative communication. She actually called Yahweh a liar. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, found on page 949, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. And the word I want you to get from that is the word consider. Now in Webster's Dictionary, it says, the word consider means to think about carefully. To think about carefully, to think of, especially with regard to taking some action, to take into account. You know, so if you really think about it, this scripture is actually telling you to think about what you're saying. Actually use the stop acronym and think about the words before we actually say them. You know, and that's very important because we are all helping each other to get into this kingdom. You know, remember, we are a body. We are a body. And, you know, we are running this race not against each other, but with each other to enter into this great kingdom and actually finish this great work. Now, for my last scripture here in Yob 16, verses 3 through 5. And found on page 420, it says here, that I also could talk like you if you were in my place. I could make worthless speech against you and shake my head at you. However, I would not do that. I would encourage you with my mouth and comfort from my lips and bring you relief. So you see the example there of Yashub or Yob, where he didn't try to find fault with one another, you know, but he actually tried to help each other. You know, not when someone's fallen to kick them and, you know, while they're down, but he actually had the attitude of servitude and actually serving, trying to help each other. You know, and that's very important, especially on the Sabbath, to actually become a blessing to one another. You know, and remember, we are striving for this position, Yahweh's kingdom. In doing so, we need to make sure that we're also positive leaders. Because remember, we're all training to become teachers of righteousness, and teachers are leaders. And we also need to learn how to communicate positively, because that's part of being a positive leader. And, you know, in the last part here, in the Peace of Solution character education book, you can write this down for a reference, but in the character book of the junior high series on page 132, you know, which actually gives you leadership skills, gives you 10 of them, and I want to go over number 10 of the leadership skills. But it says here, positive leaders use all their positive character traits to motivate and encourage others. See that? They'll encourage others. When you interact with others as a person with integrity, you encourage others to do the same. So remember these things. Keep the things in our mind, because this is our goal, to become positive leaders, to become positive teachers. Okay? To always be mindful of the words we use. Whether it's positive, okay, we have to use it to uplift each other, encourage others. If you all please stand with that, I'd like to now turn up for prayer. The great Kahan Nathaniel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, saints of Yahweh. On this glorious Sabbath day, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's a great blessing and a great honor to be able to come before Yahweh's wonderful saints, especially in this time period where, you know, you see the world going in such a direction that leads only to destruction. But Yahweh has given us a place of safety, a place of refuge. If you remember, in the law, there has to be a city of refuge. And Yahweh has given us this city where we would find this great peace. And Father Yahweh has definitely established in these last days a house where we could learn how to conduct ourselves, how to properly conduct ourselves. You know, Yahweh has given us a standard to follow. He's given us Yahshua Messiah. He's also given us the last day's anointed witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, that would be that light to the nations, light to this dying world, and he's given us this work that we could be part of. You know, all of this is just a prelude to the topic that I want to cover today. But firstly, I really want to encourage everyone in the house of Yahweh to understand and to know that Yahweh's eyes are upon you in this time of great turmoil and trouble, especially in the descending of the gods, when the gods are just completely relentless, heartless, and careless, and they play upon our various failings when we allow our feelings to overtake right and proper standards that we should be living by. You know, we allow ourselves to get caught up in, why did he say that to me, or why did she say that to me in this way? I don't want to be around that person, and I can't work with that person. Well, it's just like what Pastor said many years ago. He said you can't work with a saint of Yahweh. You're saying you can't work with Yahweh. Yahweh's eyes are upon us. Yahweh hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't left us. Yes, praise Yahweh. He hasn't left us. Yes, he allowed the gods to descend. The gods are here right now, and they are showing their power and their strength. But he hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. And that's just to encourage all of us, to remind all of us that the standard that Yahweh has set before us is no less than what he prophesied would be brought forward. If you would go over to the book of Zechariah, okay, go over to the book of Zechariah and chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 6. Okay, so that's on page 719. Starting in verse 6. It said, "And I asked, what is it? And he answered, this is the ephah, the standard of perfection, which is sent by Yahweh's law. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, understanding throughout the whole earth. The standard, the ephah, the one who's bringing forward this standard and this ephah. If you go over to 6:12, no, actually go up to Zechariah 3 on the previous page, 7:18. Zechariah 3 and verse 8. It says, "Hear now, O Yahshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you." And who are these companions? Who are these companions who sit before Yahshua Messiah? Look, we have a lot of things to look forward to. And allowing our feelings to cause us to fail is only a setback. We have to keep moving forward to the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay, the companions who sit before Yahshua Messiah are those who sit in this very house of Yahweh at this moment. And we should be thankful. It's a law. Number one, it's a law of Yahweh to be thankful. Praise Yahweh. It's the law of Yahweh to be thankful. But we should be more than thankful. We should love the standard of Yahweh. Let's go. Let me finish reading this. Okay, it says, so these companions that sit before you, for they are men wondered at. They are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. These companions are wondered at. Well, why are they wondered at? Why, what's so astonishing about you guys? I mean, like, what's so, that's what the adversary said to you. Who is man that you are mindful? Look at these guys. They can't even conduct themselves properly. Somebody says something, they get upset. You know, you go running, crying, you don't want to perform your duty. Your supervisor says, go back to work. You complain and cry about what your supervisor says. And the gods are up there like, Yahweh, are these the ones? For real, Father Yahweh? You know? But Yahweh says to them, yes, they are. Just wait. Just wait. Okay, so these are men wondered at. If you go over to Zechariah chapter 8, spend a little bit of time in Zechariah. Okay, these are men wondered at. The world wonders at them and are astonished by their stick-to-itiveness, okay, their ability to withstand the ways of the adversary and to withstand the ways of the world and maintain the standard of Yahweh, that ephah. Okay, it's no small thing. When pastor shows us that these last days are more grievous, okay, and more tumultuous, more turbulent, more sin than any other time in the plan of Yahweh, we can see it plainly. And it's something that we have to believe. Remember, pastor continually reminding us that one of the great deacons is bringing out information about the technology and the advance of this technology. And if you'll look at the advance of technology, you'll also see the prevalence of disease. You know, you'll see the prevalence of sin, of the deterioration of the moral standard. For the great witness to spend so much time and dedicate his whole life, which Yahweh said that he would, but he had to make that choice to do so. But for him to dedicate his whole life to reinstilling morals into the minds, the hearts, and the minds of the people so that the hearts and the minds of the children will be turned to the teachers, to the priest who teaches peace. Hold your position in Zechariah, and go over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24. Okay, the priest who teaches peace. You know, for him to set his mind in bringing back this morality that has been, there has been a deliberate campaign against morality specifically. Okay, specifically. So for him to say, no, we're going to bring this morality back even stronger than what you guys did when you got rid of it, it flies in the face of the adversary. Flies completely in the face of the adversary. And that's why so many times when pastor would say something, the Pope would come out directly against it. The first time I remember it was when pastor brought out the Prophetic Word magazine that said, salvation is at the house of Yahweh. And then within a couple of days of that article hitting the internet, the Pope came out, this was Pope Benedict, and he came out and said, there is no salvation anywhere outside of the Catholic Church. So, I mean, you know, that's a coincidence. Yeah, that's just a coincidence. You know, it's probably just a coincidence. Well, then, pastor said to us, you know what, we need to stop the music in order for us to get our minds right, for us to focus on Yahweh. And the Pope said, oh, if you're going to stop the music, okay, let's bring out the Carmelite mystics. And he brought about the Carmelite mystics, how they would do their, you know, mystery poetry and music and all of these different things. So if the house of Yahweh is taking away music, I'm going to give music to the people. Okay? Those are just two examples. There's a saying in the world, not always true, but I'd like to use it in at this point, that a number of coincidences constitute a fact. So when you have the Pope coming out directly against the house of Yahweh in so many instances, coincidences, it now becomes a fact. Praise Yahweh. And praise Yahweh for the greatest teacher in the world, because he's the one that's allowing us to be, or Yahweh has set forward this plan, and the great witness has dedicated his mind to reinstill morality into those who had the heart of stones. And now he's giving us a heart of flesh, if you remember what the scripture says, that Yahweh will take the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Now that Hebrew word for the word flesh is the word bashar, which means the preaching and the publishing of the message. So Yahweh is giving us a heart that is in tune with the preaching and publishing of the message as coming from Abel. And that has to be first and foremost in our minds and in our hearts, right? Matthias 6:33, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh, and all your other desires will be added to you. Okay, it's not entirely wrong to desire the best. You can desire the best, but seek Yahweh first, because he is the best, right? Isaiah 24 and verse 23, it says, those who cleanse themselves at Abel will be sought. That's exactly what we saw in Zechariah, okay? Those who cleanse themselves at Abel will be sought. And those who received Yahweh's justice will be ashamed. Now, that justice is the decision that Yahweh had set from the beginning of time. It's justice. It's justice that if we sin, we should suffer the curses for that sin. Imagine sinning and you yourself continuing to be blessed. You know, that would be such a corruption of justice. The scripture says that he who keeps the law of Yahweh loves his neighbor. And that neighbor is not only those sitting in front of us right now, but those to come. Okay, the kingdoms of the world have the ability to sustain themselves for 300 years, 1,000 years. Some of them out in the galaxies have the ability and have sustained themselves for 1 million years, 2 million years. But what's the motto of the house of Yahweh? If you remember, if it's not forever, we don't want it. So if it's, praise Yahweh, if it's for 4 billion years, don't want it. Okay, if it's for 7 billion years, 10 billion years, don't want it. We don't want it. Because at the end of that 7 billion years is grief, sorrow, suffering, pain, murder, strife, contention, all of these things that just destroy mankind. And it'll be a grievous end after that 7 billion years of so-called joy and elation. It'll be a grievous end. But Yahweh has given us forever, and we can't forget that. Okay, so you will be sought. You will be sought because of the standard of Yahweh that Yisro Hawkins is bringing forward to us in these last days. The people will seek us. They are coming. It was prophesied and it will come to pass. Okay, but it says those who receive the justice will be ashamed. When Yahweh our Father will gloriously reign over those who will gloriously reign, not over, but through. Okay, when Yahweh will gloriously reign through those who think to keep his laws. Turn over to Psalms 110. Psalms 110. Okay, so Yahweh will reign gloriously through those who have made up their mind. Remember, we used to have the posters up in the sanctuary, Think Law. Those who have made up their minds to keep Yahweh's law. Yahweh will reign gloriously through those individuals. You know, this is the hope that we should have within us, all of us. We should be longing and lusting and desiring after the fulfillment of Yahweh's plan. Okay, so it says, let me start in verse 2. Yahweh will send a rod of your strength out of Zion. Okay, and that rod is also synonymous with the word branch. Okay, Yahweh will send a rod of your strength out of Zion. And of course, the law of Yahweh is the strength to the nations. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Yisro Hawkins right now is surrounded, but Yahweh has prepared a table in the midst of those enemies. And he's offering us, Yisro Hawkins is offering us the opportunity to partake of his plate. I mean, that's such a glorious thing in itself. But here it is in verse 3. Your people will have proven themselves obedient to your law. On the day you go forth in power, and they will unite with you, arrayed in their holy garments. Like the morning dew, they will completely cover the earth and govern with you. Got to applaud to Yahweh. Got to give it up to Yahweh. I mean, we have to really allow our minds. You know, oftentimes, I know that the young ones, you know, there's a lot of pulls. And especially you get to a certain age, it's like, you know, things start changing, hormones start changing and everything. And the mind starts getting distracted. But Pastor gave us a remedy. He said when he started feeling upset, maybe, you know, feeling kind of down about certain situations, he would go back to the scriptures and read about what Yahweh had in store for him. And as what was written about Moshe in Hebrews 11, that as though having seen the face of the invisible one, he persevered. As though he had already seen the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay, and that's how we have to be. We have to allow ourselves to be obedient. Okay, obedience is the key to Yahweh's kingdom. You know, the self-control in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, that is such a integral item that if we learn to love it, and that's actually the title of the lesson today, learn to love Yahweh. Because even though we say, praise Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh, you know, the world has set, Satan is so, I tell you, she works hard. And she's set a decoy of what we think of as love. And oftentimes, if we, you know, as a family, we could have that distorted idea of love, and if others don't meet up to our distortion of the idea of love, we then become offended. You know, but the true love of seeking Yahweh is that we would place our love on these things, that we would hate the ways of the adversary. Turn over to Psalms 82. I don't have a number for a page number, but Psalms chapter 82. Okay, it says, Yahweh stands in the assemblies of the gods, and he gives judgment among the gods. Now, that's what Yahweh does. And our example of Yahweh is on the earth right now, Yisro Hawkins. And he stands in the assembly of the gods, in the assembly of the enemies that has completely surrounded him. You know, Revelation says, though you have a little strength, you have not denied my name. That was speaking of Yisro Hawkins himself. And the only reason why we have any claim to that understanding is because he taught us. That's the only way. We then also become the branches that are grafted in. We become the branches. Remember, the scripture shows that if you accept a righteous man, you accept the reward of a righteous man, not his authority. We'll never have Yisro Hawkins' authority. He is the witness. He is the last day's witness sent by commandment, by Yahweh's commandment. Okay, but let's continue, because this is what Yahweh says about the gods, these enemies that have surrounded Yisro Hawkins. Yahweh says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the sinner? You should have defended the weak and the fatherless. You should have maintained the rights of the poor and the oppressed. You should have rescued the poor and the needy and delivered them from the hands of the wicked. You know nothing. You understand nothing. You walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. We could easily go over to Isaiah 24 and read about what caused this shaking of the earth. What has caused the foundation of the earth to be so unstable? It was mankind who did it. It was the sins of mankind. If Yisro Hawkins didn't teach us, we would be still doing the same thing. Just like what the scripture said, if Yahweh didn't reserve a remnant, all of us would be like unto Sodom and like unto Gomorrah. Accepting the way that causes pure, total, and utter destruction. Look at the flag, that flag there. Okay, the LGBT community. Okay, that causes utter destruction. And Yisro Hawkins is pointing out to us, why are all the religions, okay, why are all religions allowing the world to turn to sodomy? Is because they don't have the truth and they haven't followed the great witness. Okay, so let's continue. They've followed in this way that's shown in Psalms 82. It says, So you know nothing, and the earth shake. You've caused the whole world to be defiled. Nothing can be, you can't find a clean animal on the planet now, right now, as we're speaking. Right now, what's the radiation coming from Fukushima is depleting the strength of the entire world simultaneously, right now. People are afraid to have children in Japan right now. In Iraq, after the U.S. went into Iraq and let off all of those guns with the depleted uranium and everything, people are scared to death to have children in Iraq. Because the children don't come out as something that's recognizable. You run a risk. You just might come out with a baby with all five digits. They might be deformed and only have four. And then, as Pastor showed us, that deformity might not be so obvious. It might be in here. We're in a state right now where if we, beginning with us, beginning here at the house of Yahweh, that's what the scripture shows, judgment begins at the house of Yahweh. If we don't turn our hearts and our minds fully in true love toward Yisro Hawkins, it's over. We don't have a defense. There's no salvation for us. Salvation is here at the house of Yahweh where judgment begins. But here, Yahweh says, I have said you are gods, you sons of the Most High, and like Adam, you will die. Just like the other rulers, you will fall. Arise, O Yahweh, and judge the earth, for you shall forcefully seize all nations. In other words, Yahweh will plead his case, and there will be no wiggle room, there will be no rebuttal, there will be nothing else. It will be proven plainly and simply that, as he said, all the nations will know that I have loved you, Israel. All the nations will know that I have loved you, Israel, and his Israelites. Okay, so, you know, all of these things are there. You know, the love of Yahweh has to be in our minds and in our hearts. And we know already, you know, let's go back to Zechariah on 7:19. Back to Zechariah and chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. Okay? Because we know that this is what Yahweh has said. This is what Yahweh has said. Remember, keep it in your minds. We have to set our love upon the things of Yahweh. Okay? Love is an emotion, and the emotion of love is able to be taken and placed where you desire it to be, where it should be, where you know that it should be, where we all know that it should be. Okay, so now when you look at this, you'll be able to see the love of the great witness, because this is the only way he can perform his duty. It says, speak to him and say to him, this is what Yahweh says. This is verse 12. Behold the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Okay, now go over to page 892. Page 892. This is the only way. This is the only way that Yisro Hawkins has successfully built up and is continually building up the house of Yahweh. Okay? Let's see. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning foods and offerings to the gods, to the Elohim, we know that we all possess knowledge. Just like what Pastor showed us, that these ones, they hold memorials to the dead, and they eat swine's flesh. That's their food and their knowledge. But we possess knowledge And that causes one to grow. And love. Love builds up the house of Yahweh. That's how Yisroel Hawkins has, is, and is going to continue to build up the house of Yahweh through his love of the message of Yahweh. And that's our example. That's what we have to exhibit. We have to exhibit this love for one another according to the standard of Yahweh. Anything less than that is breaking down the house of Yahweh, not building it up. But we are part of this awesome work. We are the branches that Yahweh has brought forward through the branch. And we have a lot of promises to look forward to. So be encouraged. Be greatly encouraged, for your reward comes quickly. And if everyone would please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're pretty much going to have one story today, which is on this situation with the Duck Dynasty, which is this popular television show with this kind of ironic name. But it the man is basically preaching what sin is, and he's preaching against homosexuality. And so the television show, the network A&E, has suspended him. And so they have a debate. At first it shows him preaching right out of scripture, and then they have a debate with these politicos on one of these shows for quite a while. We get about an 8 or 9 minute debate. But one thing to keep in mind is they say the homosexuals in this debate, and there's a couple of them, they even say so, are arguing that this is not a violation of free speech because A&E is a private corporation and it's a contractual prohibition against saying such things. But of course, if they were contractually bound from saying such things, they'd be in an uproar. But A&E is not a private corporation. It's run by Herodians. It's paid for by taxpayer money that was stolen because they put their people into power into these places, and then they take over these networks and these airwaves, and they use them to promote sin. So don't buy the argument that this is okay because it's a private corporation. It's not. It's the government itself. It's the Catholic Church running through these Jesuits, taking over these corporations, and that's why they all say the exact same thing. They don't want to let anyone say anything that goes against what they're saying, and the people make this point in the debate. So this is prophecy being fulfilled, and it's a prophecy in and of itself. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. As you saw from that little bit of news, there's no peace in the world. And they call that a mob. I'll read it to you in just a moment. But I wanted to show you what Yahweh is doing, because we are going to bring peace to the world. And no, there won't be any sodomites in the kingdom. Phil Robertson was right in quoting 1 Corinthians 6:9, and of course he made himself a prey in doing so. And he's suffering what the house of Yahweh has been suffering for years, but the gates of hell will not prevail. And this mob is part of the gates of hell, bringing forth this sodomy that ruins a person's life, it ruins their health, it ruins the health of their children, and goes out to the whole world from there. And that's what the scripture says, and science knows this themselves, and keeps telling the people this. But yet they want to go ahead practicing it and following the gods, and that's what they say. You got to repent to their gods or they won't forgive you for using the word fag or queer or any of those words that shows them, you know, that there's something different from, you know, in this following this. It's the same as bestiality, as the man said. fornication, adultery, lying and stealing. Well, we have. Israel Hawkins tells Pope to let Yahweh's people attend the upcoming feast in plea to stop prophetic plagues. Well, these plagues are coming, and that's part of sodomy. That's what sodomy is bringing forth, is these sickness and disease. That's one of the plagues, just one of the plagues. But there's seven of them all together. He says in the news article, this was just released 12/20, and 33,243 news media has already run it. Praise Yahweh. And it's coming up fast, spreading to the world. Not only here, it's global. That's just here in the United States. The one published 12/13, the House of Yahweh releases new article. They say will expose true intentions of the Catholic Church. That's up to 63,000 of news media has run that already. And that is still climbing, by the way. This morning, someone handed me an article that was run by, I don't have it with me, but it was Jewish Times, I do believe, about rebuilding the temple. And it was quoting our work full-time, named three of the top scholars of the world, they said. That's what they called myself, the great Kohan Shaul Hawkins, and David, his name escapes me, David Hawkins from Wisconsin. And anyway, it's rebuilding the temple with the wall in between, and they did a great job in telling about this article and what it wrote. Now that's not all. Now that Jordan this week told them to take all the surveillance cameras down from the Temple Mount. No more surveillance cameras. So now Jordan, if you remember, owns the Temple Mount. And they're saying no more surveillance on the Temple Mount. So things are getting ready to start taking place. Prophecies that we've been bringing for years. Read the temple brochure. Read it. You're fixing to start seeing it. It's also on Google, they told me this morning. After this other, then someone called me back and said, hey, this is also on Google. Well, of course, we're going to put out a press release, too, on it. Yahweh willing, this week, just to keep the ball rolling. This is Yahweh's move, of course, and this time it won't be stopped. Yahweh has let sodomites take over the world, and this article right here, they call themselves GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D. That stands for what they call Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Defamation. Now, it says GAD, gangsters. This is what they call them, gangsters. Won't stop until both the cultural and legal enforcement of their agenda are the norm. Now, their goal is to take this to the world. If you'll turn over to Yeremia, that's his very words here. Yeremia tells about this move, and of course, it's in the last days, too. But in Yeremia 23, I've read this to you many times, and of course, we have suffered the persecution. And we'll wear it as a badge of honor into the kingdom. Each and every one of us will have that badge of honor if we don't give in and get scared and lose it, which I don't think anyone here is going to turn that path. But Jeremiah states here, he's talking about the Catholics who before that were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. Now this is a fact of history if anyone wants to check it out. But they moved to Rome. They had their general Titus move all the equipment from the temple to Rome. That's a matter of history. Look up the Ark of Titus, and anyone can see this for themselves. But before they were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they were called the priests of Jerusalem. Violent men, Yahshua said, who had forcefully taken over the house of Yahweh. That King Solomon, the son of David, built on what they call Mount Zion. Mount Zion, of course, or it means a promotion of 613 laws and those who keep them. That's what Zion, Mount Zion, actually means. And that's the reason the temple was, the house of Yahweh was put there. We have tithe receipts from that showing this proof that it was there, and that they built, that we have other things besides that. We also have over Kefa's door the rock carving that said Bayit Yahweh, meaning House of Yahweh. So we know the apostles also carried the name House of Yahweh. That's why they killed them, by the way. They murdered 11 of the 12 disciples of Yahshua after they murdered Yahshua and Yochanan, who led the path before him. He says, in verse 1, you see, this was written in 598 B.C. when the Catholics called themselves, "Woe to the pastors, shepherds, who destroy and scatter sheep of my pasture," says Yahweh. "Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says against the pastors who feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I am going to visit you." And then he says in verse 3, "I will gather the remnant." Well, he's talking about the last day's work there. But look on over to verse 14 of that same chapter. And remember what they say, they're not going to rest. These gangsters are not going to rest. They won't stop until both the cultural and legal enforcement. So they got their hands in the legal enforcement of this country, trying to they have legalized, putting it in the schools, putting it in the Boy Scout groups. People who came against that suffered, and they made them repent to their gods before they would let them back in. And they were hurting so much financially that they repented to their gods and let them back in. You want me to read that to you? It's right here. Let me read verse 14 and 15 first. "I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem," these were not Yahweh's prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and so forth, "I've also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery." That's what the actor said. The Duck Dynasty show. I've never seen the show. I don't watch television except for the news when I get to between the phone calls. But I'm told it's a very popular show now, and in fact, the highest. It's broken a lot of records and ratings. And the father of the group is a preacher, and he's the one that read 1 Corinthians 6:9 to the newsman, and right away the sodomites came down on him for this, got him fired from his show. Yes, this all took place this week. "I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies. They turn from Yahweh and follow after gods, Elohim. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from this wickedness. Yes, if you see doctors that are trying to counsel these men, and it is possible to turn them around, to stop this sin in their lives. Many of these people hate this when it comes into their minds. They hate this. Well, there's a way of getting it out. Yes, the first thing is repent, of course. All of them are like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants are like Gomorrah. Of course, these were Sodomites. And as you read in the sins of Sodom is shown in Isaiah 3:9 of this by this same by the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, verse 15, therefore, this is what Yahweh of hosts says concerning these prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and allow them to feed on wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, allow them to drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Now get that in your mind from these Sodomites who ran the temple, who what they called the temple. They took the name House of Yahweh off of it and started calling it a temple. And the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Do not listen to the words of these prophets who prophesy to you. They are vain. They're vain. They speak a vision of their own minds, not the laws of Yahweh, but a vision of their own minds and not from the mouth of Yahweh. Saying, last part of verse 17, no evil will come near you. Well, of course, they hate the name Yahweh, too, because it stands for righteousness, as you can see there in verse 26 and 27, where Yeremia says, how long are you going to continue in this lie? Well, we see here from this article, they're not going to rest until they make the whole world accept or pray to their gods of sodomy. Listen to this verse. It's not enough to live and let live, they say. You must repent and before the self-serving gods. You must repent before the self-serving gods of selective progressism. That's why GLAAD forgave Hollywood director Britt Ratner for using the word fag. He was allowed back into the protected Hollywood club after submitting to GLAAD re-education camp and appearing in GLAAD public service announcements. They also made Bill Clinton do the same thing. Yes. It's a pretty strong gangster mob there they got. But the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the house of Yahweh. Remember that.
Praise Yahweh!
The gates of hell, if you read First John, if you have a King James Version, 1 John 3, verses 4, 7, 8, and 10, you will see that this is Satan's movement. Everything that breaks Yahweh's law is Satan's movement. And if you read Genesis 3, verse 5, I believe it is, you will see that following these ways is following the gods. And of course, they know this. They know that they're not following Yahweh. They know that they're following their own mind, the thoughts of their own mind that Satan puts in their mind. As the Pope said, just listen to that little thought that whatever's put in your mind and go for it. You know, whatever your lust leads you to do, well, do it. That's Pope Francis' words. His job is to turn all the world to sodomism. And of course, my job, our job, is to tell the people, look, if you want to live forever, you know, Yahweh created you and He created you for a purpose of being in His kingdom, But he'll only let you in into that kingdom and have eternal life if you obey the laws of righteousness. You can't steal, you can't kill, you can't murder, you can't sell baby parts or eat baby parts like you're doing now. Now, you can't do any of these things and get into Yahweh's kingdom. All of those things are classified the same as sodomy, bestiality, fornication, and adultery. Those sexual sins are bringing about sickness and disease, of which we have no cures for many of them now, as I just read you last week. We're seeing here a move in Hollywood that's starting to get people to thinking. I believe this is what it's for, and of course, we're going to take advantage of it. We see the children of the forefathers that we just read here. These children right here, the sodomites that you just see here, who are gangsters, they're mobsters, they pounce on, they kill, they murder people who don't believe. And they may kill this actor, you know. They may just murder him. They may have his barber murder him, you know. She may pour something on his head, you know, to kill him while they're cutting his hair. These things are taking place. You got to be careful out in the world. Very careful when you go into the world, especially if they know that you're one of Yahweh's children, or if you profess or try to stand up for the commandments. You know, the trouble that comes down on a person who, on these people who want to put the Ten Commandments in the courthouses where people can see them. They can't see them in their own Bible that's laying on the shelf. They can't see them there, so they're wanting to put them in the courthouse so when they pass by, maybe they'll get a look at them. Well, why can't they get them out of their Bible? Well, the Catholic Church forbids the use of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. They forbid the teaching of the inspired teaching of the holy prophets and apostles. That has never stopped. Now, they can't do it openly. They can't say, don't read your Bibles, but they do it underhandedly, as Malachi Martin, if you remember, he said they use the news. They use the newspapers. They use the news media, which that's what they're doing right now, to bring forth their propaganda to cause hatred against those who would quote Scripture. Well, now you see it coming to others. You're getting a view of what we suffered to begin with, and now you're seeing it going to higher up, and it wouldn't get public coverage, see, if it was just, you know, someone like David Koresh, that they can go out there and burn him out and kill all of the whole group in one fire, or the Idaho group that used the name Yahweh and kept the feast. That didn't get much coverage, but, you know, this is a movie star. And he's getting a lot of coverage, and there's a lot of people standing up for him. And they're saying some pretty nasty things about the Hollywood leaders that fired him. Well, Jeremiah 23 shows you, and Yahweh says, another prophet said, if Yahweh had not saved a remnant, then we would all be at this time like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know how few we are? Do you realize how few? And if Yahweh had not brought down these genes from the ones mentioned and the ones not mentioned, I want to tell you the name of the person you're hunting, but I want you to find it on your own. Remember, I told you it's obvious that he sprang from Yada. And it's not so obvious that he sprang from someone else. I want to tell you that name real bad, but it pops out of my mouth every once in a while, but I'm not going to say anything about it. But I'm telling you, when you see it for yourself, you're going to say, why didn't I see that before? Anyway, Yahweh brought down genes, and in those were planted certain things that sent off an alarm clock in your mind when you heard the word Yahweh, or when you heard the word Sabbath. This is the seventh day and not the first day. when you heard that Christmas was a pagan holiday, a foolish custom that's worthless, that maybe it popped off when maybe you were laying there thinking one night, and Yahweh put a thought in your mind instead of Satan, and then you wound up at his house, at the house of Yahweh, not the house of the gods now. Remember, in the very first three chapters of Genesis, you've showed the tree of the gods that are filled with evil, and you've shown the tree of righteousness and eternal life, which is total righteousness. And Satan says, go ahead and sin and you'll be like the gods. Yahweh's not a god. You're not going to be like him if you sin. And this shows you the difference right there. Yahweh is not a god. He wasn't worshiped in this evil, but the gods were worshiped there. Genesis 3, do this and you'll be like the gods. Commit sodomy, you'll be like the gods. Rape your children and they'll have a third eye that will be tuned into the gods. All of these things are being taught by the sodomites secretly. They don't want to let it out in the open, but they are letting things out in the open now and then and putting sodomites to where they don't have to, where they can actually talk about it. They're putting it in the armed forces. They want all their army to be like Alexander the Great. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants this evil disease into every person in the world. They want all their armies to go in, be able to go in and rape people and give them AIDS, give them all kinds of diseases. Satan is wanting to kill every man, woman, and child on earth. She wants to destroy the heavens that govern the earth. I'm wondering what the new planet was created for. Have you got any ideas? 1219, my face was on the moon. How many saw it? We got pictures of it. It's actually there. It was actually there. We got pictures of it, and I'm told they're bright and clear. They even show my white shirt, my tie, my glasses, everything on the moon. Now, I've turned that over to Kohan Eliyah Hawkins and the future priest. I've turned it over to Kohana Kana Hawkins and the future priestess to study. I gave them some hints, but I'm not going to study it. I don't have time. But I'm telling you, there's something there. If you look in Genesis again, why did Yahweh, what authority did he give to the moon? Well, I would start with that. But if you have anything on it, turn it over to one of those two. Man or woman, turn it over to one of those two. Yahweh is showing you something here. Maybe showing you quite a bit right here that you're going to be having the power that was promised in Genesis 1:26. Some of it. Anyway, it was there on the moon. I'm now the man in the moon. More, that's more pleasant than some of the names I've been called from the sodomites, of course. Malachi Martin said the Catholic Church uses the news media. Well, we're seeing how it does to promote propaganda. Their propaganda is to make you believe that the scriptures are evil and sinful. And of course, sin is righteous. That's their belief. And they, if you notice, they brought up the word slavery and put it by the side of sodomy. Slavery. Of course, slavery is one of the most wonderful things that you could imagine, the law of slavery. Not like some of the the southern slave owners that we read about in history, and I'm not sure that any of that is true. If you win the war, you know, you can write history any way you want it, and of course the Yankees won the war. And so they put in history what they wanted to. My uncle owned slaves, one of my uncles, and one of my grandfathers owned slaves. And when they moved to get out of the Civil War, the slaves that they had did not want to stay where they were living, and they wanted to come with my family to Texas, which they did. Now, that's one of the stories about my family. But they were loved, and they were treated as one of the family. Well, the law says if they stay 7 years and they say, I want to stay in the house of Yahweh forever, they become one of Yahweh's children. Well, of course, Yeshua, he's the one that taught slavery, but he taught it perfectly and said, you've got to become a slave. You've got to. And he himself said, I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be your slave. And he said, when you get to my kingdom, I am going to come out and serve you. But they take this and they make a rotten word out of it, because some Christians, I guess, in the South, they tortured their slave men and women. They didn't win them over by unity. They weren't unified with them in righteousness and saying, this is righteous. Let's work with it. We'll get through this, and we will find joy in doing this. They weren't following Yahweh's laws if they didn't follow Yeshua in slavery. But the Sodomites, or as some people call fags, some call queers. Yes, in Oklahoma, that's what they were called, and they were run out when they came into our area of Oklahoma. They were found out about, and they were told to leave. And in one place in Missouri, I was reading on a historical marker, if somebody else saw it, but they tied one of them on a raft and sent him down the river after they poured hot tar on him and feathers. But he had come back the second time, they said. They didn't say anything about a third time. So maybe he didn't come back to... That wasn't Stanbury, Missouri. It was... It's a large city in Missouri before you get to Stanbury, but I can't remember the name of the town. Well, Duck Dynasty family stands by suspended patriarch. This is on CNN this morning. The family behind A&E's Duck Dynasty rallied around its patriarch Thursday, one day after the network suspended Phil Robertson over controversial remarks. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. And, of course, we've been reading this for years. That's the reason they hate us so much. 1 Corinthians 6, and this was the one he read. He didn't read some of the others, but we know that he's been listening to the house of Yahweh from some of the remarks he made. But 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, we get calls almost all the time now from preachers. We was talking to one yesterday that he said he has a pretty big flock, but people. But he said that he wanted to use some of our work. He wanted to download it and then play it to his or read off of it for his congregation. I think this weekend. But anyway, he said he gets a pretty large congregation, and then he said he'll bring out something like Yahweh or some of the laws that we should be following. And he said he sees some of them that are not there then the next meeting. And, but of course, he's not the house of Yahweh, so he doesn't have Yahweh's protection. But we're praying for each one of these that want to start bringing truth to their congregations, and we pray for them and their congregations. But there's quite a few doing this, and quite a few Catholics and nuns and so forth that's doing this now, because there's a lot of people out there that don't want their children to grow up in this kind of mess that's going on in the Catholic Church, that the Catholic Church has brought about. And they're showing it. They're showing it now openly, and maybe this will pick up now. It looks like it's going to. About 190,000 people, I believe it is already voiced their opinion against them firing this man from this show. But the controversial remarks that he read or quoted to a newspaper reporter that came there, I think maybe for some remarks that he had made earlier, and they came there to trap him and to bring persecution against him. He made some remarks in 2008, I believe it was, about sodomites. So, and they just now found out about it. So they went there for this interview, and they asked him what he thought sin was. And of course, he started with 1 Corinthians 6 and the word sodomy. And this is what they went after. Well, here is what the great apostle Shaul, that they call Paul, wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous..." Now, the unrighteous, as you can see in 1 John 3:4, he says, sin is the breaking of the law. Then verse 7 and 8, he said, "Don't let people deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who practices sin belongs to the devil." Well, of course he does. That's what he showed us in Genesis. Genesis 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3. Practice sin, and you belong to Satan the devil. Romans says it even clearer. You belong to whom you obey. The Yadim. We use that word a lot, and it's question. But if you'll just think, Yahweh said, "I chose a family now. And you alone," he says, "belong to me. You belong to me." Now, of course, they went the other way, but he said, "The chastisement is going to be upon you, but you're going to take it to all the world." They were Yadim that turned against Yahweh, and of course, he's still dealing with them, and he is going to save his people from their sins. Now, it's going to take a nuclear war. They're going to have to experience a nuclear war that's going to wipe out 4/5 of the earth's population in order to turn and save his people from their sins. We are going to resurrect those before us. We're going to give them 100 years to live with minds open, without temptation to Satan at all. No confused minds, no defiled bodies, but 100 years to live the way Yahweh wants them to, and if they don't, then a fire is waiting them, and it's a second death, and they'll never live again. But after that, there will be no gods, period, no gods in the universe. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous, those who do not keep Yahweh's laws, will not inherit the kingdom? Not just Sodomites, but the rest of the sins too. Break Yahweh's laws and you practice sin. If you don't show up for Sabbath services, and it's possible to do so, then you're practicing sin. And you belong to Satan, the devil. That's how easy it is to sin. Breaking the Sabbath is the same as sodomy. It'll get you burned. Yes, the same penalty applies to all. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not deceive yourselves, you know, following your own mind, your own thoughts, as Jeremiah said. Neither fornicators nor God worshipers. You get that? Go back to Genesis 3 and verse 1. Sin, and you will be like the gods. You won't be made in the image of Yahweh. You'll be made in the likeness and image of Satan, the devil, who is the top god, ruling all the gods. All the pharaohs who died, and they're now worshiping them. Those two, worshipers of Elohim, nor adulterers, nor men who commit sexual perversion with boys, or men who commit sexual perversion with other men. That should be plain enough. Now, they say, well, we want society to accept it and tell us it's right. And that is the way they're trying to force it to come about. It would make no difference if all the world had this same deception. It still would not get you in the kingdom. Yahweh is not looking for votes of people. He's already told you. Revelations 12:9. He's already told you the way into his kingdom. And he's merely telling you, he warns you by the prophets. He says, I've set both of these things in front of you. I've set sodomy in front of you. And I've sent the tree of life in front of you. Which one do you want to choose? It's your choice as to what you choose. That includes all the sins too. But in Revelations 12:9, he says, that great dragon was cast out. Your God is going to be cast out. She's been cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived Eve, and now she's deceived the whole world. She was cast out into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her. You think he's going to turn around and let the sodomites in his kingdom? He's already cast your leader out. Can you not see that? Yahweh offers you salvation, but he will not give you salvation unless you serve him, become righteous, be made in his image and likeness, and stop bringing sickness, disease, hatred, misery into the world. That's what sodomy brings. It's what sin brings. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6 shows you exactly the reason that nuclear war is coming. Well, back to 1 Corinthians now. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? That's a fact. You will not. It's here for you. He said it in the Garden of Eden. That's what it represents. And the tree of life was put there. And you can partake of the tree of life only by making yourself, by letting Yahweh form you into his likeness and his image, which is perfectly righteous, which is no harm to anyone, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. Yes, if you love your neighbor, you know, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you tell yourself, this is not right, right? This will get me burned. Well, you got to tell your neighbor that too, or you don't love him as yourself. Don't be stupid. If you love your neighbor, you're going to tell him the way into the kingdom. If you break the laws of Yahweh says you don't love your neighbor, If you loved your neighbor, you would keep the laws of Yahweh. You would tell him the truth. You wouldn't steal from him. You wouldn't molest his children. If you love your neighbor, you wouldn't molest his children. The Catholic Church that sits on the seven hills of Rome is saying, love, love. Who am I to judge? Just love. While they're leading the people to hell. There's no sickness, no saneness. No saneness in any of these members. Their minds are confused, as is shown. Well, let's finish reading this first, and then we'll go to the first chapter of Romans. But notice he says they're just not going to be allowed into his kingdom. Do not deceive yourselves, neither fornicators, nor God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim, nor adulterers, men who pervert themselves and pervert children and pervert other men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Notice that news, that woman that was the anchor woman, she knew this right here, and she said, well, all of these sins are condemned. And she said, I believe in following all of these rules, keeping these laws. Well, of course, she doesn't know it, but she's not doing it yet, but maybe she will. And such were some of you, but now you're washed, now you've repented, now you're cleaned, you don't do it anymore. The book of Romans, which was written to Rome, that's what you see at the top, a letter of Shaul to the Romans. And he's showing the people that was taken into captivity how all of this came about. Here is people that thought they were doing the right thing, and here they've been taken in captivity to Babylon and Rome. And of course, the prophets were saying before this, if you don't stop sinning against Yahweh, Yahweh will turn his back on you. You cut yourself off from him. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your own iniquities have separated you from Yahweh, the Father. And your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you. He will not listen. Your hands are defiled with blood and so forth, and with eating unclean food, with sins. Your bodies are defiled. He's telling you there, everything is defiled about you. And look at verse 15. Yes, truth is suppressed. Who's suppressing it? The Sodomites. They don't want you to read 1 Corinthians 6:9 on the air. They don't want you to read it publicly. Well, what's he saying here? Look at it. This is prophecy for the last days. Yes, this is a prophecy that's written for our generation. Now, let me point out once again to you, Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge will be increased. In the last days. The Savior said in Matthew 24, the last generation. A lot of people in the house, I know, have got sermons that's starting with 1934. The very date that the computer it's so amazing. Yahweh gives you a date. 1934 says knowledge will be increased, and lo and behold, 1934 pops up. The plan for the computer that actually built the nuclear bomb, made it possible for planes to fly, missiles to fly, everything started in 1934. Including the witness Yisrael, the branch that would build the house of Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh!
That was a prophecy written over 500 years before Yeshua. And Yeshua said, that's going to be the last generation. And when you start seeing these things, know that this generation, how much of it is left? We're at the end of it, brethren. Think. It started in 1934 with my birth. So did all these other things that Yahshua, that the Daniel, the prophet, Isaiah the prophet said. You could, how about you saying, think about it, this. How about you telling us a prophecy right now, something that's going to come to pass? One of the future priests was showing me yesterday onions or garlic or something that he had planted, little seeds. And it was grown up and is about eight inches tall. And he was really pleased with this. And I said, now, think about what was in that seed. Now, you see this little bitty, teeny-weeny seed. And in each one of those seeds, which is, by the way, given to Adam, and Yahweh put in every one of those seeds, either garlic or the oak tree. But it's in that little seed, and it's programmed like a computer. It's programmed just like a computer. And when it's planted correctly, from that seed produces something that was given to Adam to eat, just like it's given to you. And it retains it year after year after year until mankind alters it and of course makes it worthless. But think of the power that it takes. Think of the ability that it takes for Yahweh to place in that little seed. The little seed that you started from, dates all the way back to Abraham. Now, I want to say some others there, but I'm not going to. But they came to you and produced you. And it's so tiny, that little seed is so tiny that you have to have a computer magnifier to see it. And yet in that seed, it has your eye color, your ear shape, shapes of your ears, how much hair and a hairline, wherever it's going to be on your head. Even your hair, the hairs on your head are numbered, Yahweh says. All in that little old seed that you can't even see. You could have it on your hand and flush it down or wash it down the sink. And yet that's what you came from. And Yahweh, think of the ability that you're going to have. And he says, I want to make man in my image after my likeness and give him this authority. Authority. Yes, to do these things that Yahweh does. To build a planet 11 times bigger than the largest planet we know of overnight. Where the scientists will look out and see that and marvel and say, hey, that's not there. That wasn't there yesterday. He built the whole earth and those planets that involve the earth and mankind in 7 days' time, 6 days' time. He rested the seventh day from his work. That's his work. And he wants to give this stuff to us, this ability to us. But the Sodomites don't think they don't want it at this time. They think they want to sin. They want to practice sin. And they're teaching that if you narrow yourself down to righteousness, where you won't be committing diseases, you won't be hurting your neighbor or his children or his wife, they're saying, you know, that this is got you imprisoned, that we're keeping you a prisoner because you have chosen to follow righteousness instead of their evil. Well, of course, before they said that, the apostles said that, and they said, don't think it's strange that the world hates you. The world? What is the world? It starts as Phil Robertson said, with sodomy. Started with sodomy. And he said, just go out from there. And he named some other sins. He lost his job for actually quoting that scripture. They came down on him like mobsters, caused him to lose his job. And like I say, they may kill him. I'm praying for the man that Yahweh will protect him and lead him to the house of Yahweh. Well, Isaiah 59 shows that sin cuts you off from Yahweh. And verse 13 shows you that, verse 15 shows you, yes, truth, the laws is suppressed. And he who departs from evil is accounted as crazy. Well, that's what they're saying about Phil Robertson now. He's crazy. He's mad. And he makes himself a prey. That's what he did when he quoted 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. He made himself a prey to the mobsters of Hollywood, the gods of Hollywood. That's what I did when I chose to follow Yahweh. I made myself a prey, and I said, I'm willing, whatever it takes, I'm willing, I'll go all the way. Praise Yahweh. I read you an article last week that this wouldn't have been written if it had not been for sodomy and all the other sins that go with making a person unhealthy. This man that wrote this, he says, we have reached the end of antibiotics. Top CDC, that Center for Disease Control expert, declares that miracle drugs that have saved millions are no match against superbugs because people have over-medicated. No, it's not because people have over-medicated. It's because they keep doing the same sins that cause these things. And their sins are multiplying. They're creating parasites for your body. And the parasites keep getting stronger to where they can outfight their only means. To where it's come, as the prophet said, for these last days, your sins are multiplied, your disease is incurable. It says that in several places in the book of Yahweh. Now, if you point that out to the world, you make yourself a prey. And they want to kill you. They want you to repent to the gods and come and let them educate you in sin. And then they will back off and leave you alone again. Now, that's exactly what I just read you. That's what they're doing. They have a mob, and they're organized. The only reason that the other people, there's more other people than there are sodomites, by far. But they're afraid to speak out because they're not organized like the sodomites are organized. Satan has organized these people to where they will pounce on everyone that does this. And most of the time, you don't even know where it comes from. It may come from some lawyers down at San Angelo who was led by a bishop or a cardinal from the Catholic Church. They've got another one down there now. They still got the same lawyers that brought the trouble the first time to the house of Yahweh, the first persecution. If you remember, that came from four lawyers in San Angelo. Now they got a new cardinal there that was appointed by the Pope. He doesn't have guts enough to stand up against me with the scriptures, but he wants to attack me secretly through the municipal system. Now that's what he's done with this other group, with his mobsters. These all are governed by the Catholic Church. He's the leader of the kings of the earth. Kings means people in authority. The Pope is the leader of it, the Vatican, and the rich people that support this system, the Herods, the Herodians. They still support it. And they are the filthiest rich people, yeah, filthy money, filthy lucre, and they're all, unless they repent, they're going to burn in hell. That's what Revelation 20 shows you. That's your judgment, Francis. And you're the one that's choosing whether or not you're going to do it. I'm telling you, you need to repent. You need to let Yahweh's people go. Let them come and start keeping the feast and learning how to bring peace to the earth. Let us turn this around. If you don't, all of these plagues are coming. They've already started. And you're going to be involved in it deeply. Yes, you're going to suffer greatly. And that at last, your city, this great city that sits on seven hills, is going to be burned with nuclear burning. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.